your prime.
What about my prime, Nick?
Welcome to Properly Howard, a podcast that reviews classic films and other pulp fiction. Today we take a look at Brian De Palma's Carlito's Way. Starring Al Pacino as a vaguely Puerto Rican gangster, Carlito's Way explores the tension an ex-con faces when he tries to go straight, but the world around him forces him back to his old ways. Also, Sean Penn with a perm. With me to discuss this film, as always, is Dr. Anthony LaDon.
Oh, Sean Penn. All right.
When he gets, when the DA like is threatening him, and he just goes,
So I've been feeling a little bit stale with my bacon takes. The bacon has lost a bit of flavor because
lost its sizzle.
Sure. You know, we get to the end of this thing, and I always say, well, you know, what bacon character could you add to this movie? And I started to think, like, maybe I should revisit some bacon, so I've got better bacon takes at the end of this.
Okay. Did you do Hollow Man?
I did not do Hollow Man. You know, Hollow Man was one of those ones where I did see at one point, and I kind of get the premise. Like, he's invisible and he's bad.
Right? Yeah, he's bad invisible. So
I don't know if we did any movies this season that... Do we do any horror at all?
I guess maybe Flatliners counts.
Well, of course, Flatliners has bacon in it, right?
Yeah.
How are the dogs getting along with the goats?
They each have their own take. Django's pretty chill. He's like, welcome, you know.
I don't really get the sense that Django knows he's a dog, though.
No, and I sometimes forget.
Sure.
And so he's just kind of down. Laddie really, really thinks these goats need to die, and it's his responsibility to kill them. Henley is just sort of flummoxed.
Hmm.
Maverick is curious. Tim wants to go in there and play with them.
Mm.
And little kiddo wants to be out there so bad. She wants to play with him so bad.
Hmm.
And Philly is scared of chickens.
Wait, there's a Philly?
Yeah, that's the show puppy that Heather got.
Oh, all right, I don't know about Philly yet. So, Philly, what kind of dog is Philly?
Also a toy poodle, but she's showable and all that good stuff.
So okay, is, all right, okay. So this is good. All right. So show poodle, and she's small. So that means she's easy to transport.
Yep.
You could put her under the seat on a plane to Vegas if need be.
Yep.
And you know, this is a high quality canine that
yes.
Heather is not looking like she just got the dog out of the back alley.
No, this is not a chicken McNugget. This is like a chicken tender.
Very good. Okay. Well, this is good. How long have you had Philly?
Oh, a month-ish, maybe more.
See, I feel differently about this because I'm always telling you don't get another dog.
Right.
Like I feel like I've said that 100 times and it's never worked.
Well.
I think this is good. This is actually this dog is bringing something different to the table. That's useful, and more so than just like we liked the way this dog felt because it was new,
right? Okay, that's fair. Yeah, and one of the dog, yeah, I mean there'll be some changes, and you know, one of the dogs will be going back and to its original owner, so that will bring it down to a manageable 6.
Okay. All right. Well, it's 5 too many, but you know, it's what you've chosen to do with your life.
Yeah.
So, all right, this came out in 93. I kind of went on an R-rated binge in 93 and 94 because I was not allowed to watch.
And did you come across? Did you watch this in the theater?
I never watched this in the theater. And I remember you quoting it to me and thinking, I'm probably not interested in that movie. And then maybe watching the full thing later in life. Like, I think I've probably seen this movie 3 times now.
Did you ever watch the prequel with P. Diddy?
With Sean Combs?
Mm-hmm.
No. And I didn't really know it existed until yesterday. And then I watched the trailer for it. And I thought, is that Sean Combs?
Yeah.
Wow. What's your relationship with Brian De Palma?
I always kind of felt like I knew, like I had seen more De Palma, I think, than I have, but I've also think, I've seen plenty. Cause I think Brian De Palma, and it's probably, I think we have to have a little bit of discussion about, Scarface in this, if we're going to talk about De Palma, because I think when I was starting to become aware of directors, right? Like I knew of, mm-hmm. like Scorsese, right? I knew of Coppola. I knew,
well, you
like
knew
I
knew Lucas, you, right?
Knew Lucas, yeah. So like directors started to matter. And De Palma, for some reason, I held in that same regard, maybe without having any actual like interaction with his work at this point. Mm-hmm. I say that, but I mean, I was a huge Untouchables fan, and I don't even know if when I first saw the Untouchables, I was aware that it was De Palma, right? Like, I didn't mm-hmm. know. I mean, again, I'm 11 years old and probably not too interested in directors at that point. But I really liked the Untouchables, and De Palma's name was always around, and so I just sort of put him in the category of, oh yeah, classic director, you know. Probably going to be a guy that if it's a De Palma joint, you know, it's going to be, you know, going to be real good. And it, I think.
Well, kind of known for like big budget films with pretty amazing stars. He writes and directs. Right.
Right.
So that it kind of puts him in the category. It would put him in the category of Scorsese or Spielberg or someone like that. If those are the only criteria you're using,
right? And I had at this point probably when I'm starting to realize directors, I had already seen like I said, I'd seen Untouchables, I'd seen Casualties of War, I'd seen Wise Guys with DeVito and Piscopo, mm-hmm. but I hadn't seen Scarface, right? And I think probably one of the main reasons why De Palma was even in my, and I hadn't seen Carrie at this point either, why Scarface is sort of, or De Palma's name was there, is because of Scarface. And Scarface was so, like, this iconic thing, you know, it still is mm-hmm. to some degree. And I was a late, viewer to Scarface. So I was like, oh, okay, well, here we go. Let's finally watch Scarface. You know, this is De Palma.
Well, before we should say that Scarface was kind of a famous poster.
Right.
Right. Everyone kind of had a Scarface image in their minds. It was sort of a cultural thing.
Right. When I went to watch Scarface, I don't know, I was probably teens, maybe later. I don't even know if I saw it in high school. I may have been after high school that I finally watched it. And I'm like, here we go. Scarface classic De Palma. And I remember going, huh. Okay. And not really realizing, like, I wonder if I would have liked it more had I seen it earlier and embraced it earlier, because I knew so many quotes and the images, and then I figured it was in, like, I had it kind of in my head that, like, oh yeah, there's like movies like Godfather and Scarface, thinking that somehow they were like on the same level of like seriousness or relative, mm-hmm.
mm-hmm.
whereas Scarface is more of like a spectacle, you know, it's
for me, De Palma is kind of the Tom Cruise of directors.
Interesting.
And it's like, I just kind of convinced myself for several years, I hate Brian De Palma. I just hate I hate everything about him. I hate everything. Like, Scarface is a pile of dog shit. I hate it so much. Yes. And then I was sort of like going through his filmography a few years ago, because there was sort of a De Palma documentary. And I was like, oh, I guess I really like Mission Impossible. That's actually really a really decent movie. And you start going through, you're like, oh, actually, I do like a few of these movies.
Carrie's great.
And eventually I kind of realized, well, I just hate him most of the time.
Right.
I kind of hate him most of the time. And I kind of associate him with an 80s director who was just over the top. He had no sense of nuance, this guy.
Right.
And this movie's, I kind of hate the first 30 minutes of this movie. I kind of hate it a lot.
Yeah.
And then about 30 minutes in, I forget that I hate it. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I start to care, and you know, it start to kind of like, man, Sean Penn is so great. Wow.
Yeah.
why did I hate this movie? And I always end it, you know, kind of like feeling like, cause you know, there's sort of an inclusio with the beginning and end, right?
Right, right.
You know, it's kind of just a you're seeing the end scene first, and then you understand the end scene at the end differently. So it's a big circle. By the end, it's sort of like, yeah, didn't quite do it for me. But there's a big hefty chunk in the middle where I'm just enwrapped. I don't know. What's your thought about this?
Yeah, I've seen this movie a bunch. Surprisingly so, actually. I don't know why I've seen this movie as much as I have.
And it's a little surprising to me that you have seen it so much, because it does feel like, I mean, it is kind of funny. I mean, there's a lot of funny scenes in this movie. But,
oh, yeah, for sure.
But I'm curious, like, what is it about this movie that is rewatchable to you?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we talked about like certain movies, and for sure we've dealt with The Big Trouble in Little China. Like, it's a movie that just gets better the more I watch it, because I just look at it differently and enjoy it differently. This one does not get better the more I watch it, but I will not stop watching it. I'm going to watch this thing till I hate it, like hate it all the way through. That's the goal. The goal is to just, I mean, Heather's already, she didn't watch it last night, so she abandoned it. She's probably watched it a couple times with me, at least. And it's longer than I remember, and it felt longer this time than any other time I've watched it. There are things about it I hate more now that like bothered me before, but now I like flat out hate them. And you know, and again, as I've gotten older and a little more, you know, whether it's socially cognizant or just beat down, like there are certain things that are like, I don't know if that works. But Sean Penn still is amazing. Like, it just, he gets better every time I watch this thing. Hey! It's one of the most invisible I've ever seen Sean
Penn. Hey, you!
What's that?
Yeah, you! You
what?
Me?
You spaghetti dick.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to you.
You're talking to me?
Yeah.
You.
No,
come on!
No,
come on!
What are you saying?
He's drunk! Right. He's drunk!
Hey,
sinner!
Sinner!
No problem, no problem.
Sean Penn is doing something I've never seen a tough guy actor do. Like, I always associate Sean Penn with kind of a tough guy actor, because I saw Fast Times kind of late in life.
Sure.
So I never really associated him with sort of the loser surfer dude.
Well, and he was also known for like being like real tough in like real life, punching photographers and like being kind of a menace.
Right. He would punch you out.
Yeah.
So
he was a problem.
He was a problem. He dated Madonna. I mean, he was
probably the most dangerous thing he ever did.
This absolutely, I think he got nominated for a supporting actor for this.
And he was kind of like semi-retired, I think, before he did this.
Is that right?
Like, he wasn't really doing I mean, he was doing some things, right? I mean, he had been in, definitely had been in some stuff, but like he took a hiatus and he returned for this because he wanted to, one, he wanted to work with Pacino, and I think he also wanted to fund The Crossing Guard. Like he, that was really the movie he wanted.
Oh, that to make. Yeah, right. He wanted
so
to
this, again? I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. So he plays a Jewish lawyer in this. I didn't know till yesterday that his father is Jewish, so he's half Jewish, and very interesting costuming on Sean Penn, because you look at him and you think, oh man, you're just you're playing up a stereotype with this. And Alan Dershowitz.
Yeah, that's right.
Threatened to sue him because he stole his look.
Yeah, exactly.
just the idea that you would see Sean Penn on screen wearing this wig and this level of balding with those glasses and say, that guy stole my look.
That's amazing.
Alan Dershowitz, of course, famous for other things in recent years. And then on top of that, I should mention, because I watched the Siskel and Ebert review of this movie this morning. One of Ebert's sort of criticisms of this is he never bought that Sean Penn would break bad like this. You know, go from lawyer to, you know, help a mafia boss get out of prison. And I guess the writer of Carlito's Way was a New York judge.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he knew about three lawyers who did something very similar to what Sean Penn did in this movie.
Well, and I think they'd actually, and I would disagree with Ebert on this one, just because I and again, I've seen this movie a ton.
Oh,
I think
they do a pretty good. It's Siskel. It was Siskel.
Oh, it's Siskel. Okay. Yeah, because I think he does I think they set it up pretty well. I think De Palma actually does a pretty good job of, in a courtroom scene that I do not like, of sort of their post, like we get the idea that like the majority of his clients were through his relationship with Carlito, which already suggests to me that there is an intertwining that is not pure legal counsel. You
this
know what
is
I mean?
A like, better like, Call Saul situation.
Yeah, it's totally feel so. So I already was like, yeah, this guy doesn't seem like he's on the up and up. And the idea that 5 years into it, he's getting involved with these types of people, the more he's realizing like, oh, I could probably, you know, the idea that he takes advantage of a prisoner and the money in exchange and everything like that, like you can keep him in there if you want. Like, so he probably feels like he has a certain amount of armor because he's got the law on his side. You know, I bought it the whole way through. And I think his character does a lot to make this movie work at all.
Well, the scene that I just played is sort of like him thinking, you know what? I'm tired of getting pushed around. I'm tired of there being this kind of mystique with these tough guys who grew up on the street. I'm as dangerous as any one of these people. And I'm going to...
Right. And rather than do it in the shadows, I'm going to do it in the spotlight.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to strut my stuff a little bit. Maybe with the idea, like, look, I'm packing heat, so I could defend myself, but maybe a little bit with, no one's going to mess with me if I'm hanging out with Carlito.
Right.
I think that this movie is worth watching just for Sean Penn.
I agree, and I think that's maybe one of the main reasons I keep watching this movie is because it's such a great performance.
Okay, so with that in mind, is Al Pacino good in this movie?
I'm so glad you asked that, because that was actually one of the things I was going to start with. I don't... First off, I'm going to say it. I hate the voiceover.
It's so bad. It's so horrible.
I hate it.
When I said I hate most of the first half an hour of this movie, it's a lot of the voiceover is just not working. And
it's the way he's delivering it. It feels like it's a play. And
like is he actually mocking Latino people?
Oh, and the voiceover at the end is way worse. It's just like it just won't stop. I mean, if you want to talk about cliches, it was just like, oh, closing time, last drinks. I mean, he's like, I mean, how many of these were on like hit the cutting room floor?
At one point, he says, because he's Puerto Rican, he says, last the Mohicans.
Yeah.
Oh. One of the last of the Mohicans. Should that have been the title for this movie?
That's right. He's like, oh, yeah. Closing time. Get your last drinks. Last call. All aboard that's going ashore. Stop, drop, and roll.
A penny saved, a penny earned.
Never let him see you sweat. Confidence is very sexy.
The early bird gets the worm.
If you need a temp, ring for liberty.
I'm sure that a lot of that is just
Outback Steakhouse. Steakhouse in the land down under.
I mean, he feels like, he's like, you know what? I just won the Academy Award for Son of a Woman. Could I just do that voice most of the time?
Oh, Son of a Woman is before this. Okay, interesting.
Could you just maybe not make him Puerto Rican? I understand he's Carlito, but like maybe you could even just throw in a quick little line that says, you know, being half Puerto Rican and all, you know, just something.
They kind of play with it a little bit later on with the Goombas come in. And they're like, I thought this guy was Italian. Look at him.
Yeah, yeah. Like, right? Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's funny.
Fine if it wasn't just comically bad throughout and he would kind of go in and out of the accent.
That's the thing. It's like if yeah, it's like, okay, so you're calling out the thing that we also think is ridiculous, but also maybe don't do that. I'd rather you not be aware.
It's almost like he, all right, look, it's really bad. The accent's really bad. I think he knows it's bad and he just decides halfway in he's going to just drop it. And so maybe that's when I start liking the movie.
Well, you wonder if there were scenes that were shot early and then he drops it later. And then so like it becomes disjointed because some of those scenes had already been shot when he was thinking he could pull it off.
It's kind of horrible and it kind of ruins the movie.
If he was just Carlito and you told me he was Puerto Rican and I know that he's Sicilian in real life and he never tries the accent, I probably would have just been in.
Yeah. Like,
you know, because as soon as he tries to remind us that he's Puerto Rican, you're like, dude, everybody around you looks so impossibly different. Like, this impossibly different.
This is when any kind of Mediterranean dark person could play any other Mediterranean dark person.
You have olive skin. Congratulations, Fred Armisen. You're Obama.
I recently watched Money for Nothing with John Cusack.
I don't know if I've ever seen that.
Okay, well, it's sort of based on a true story, which I kind of like these things. It's not a great movie, but it was a fun watch.
Cusack is Japanese in this film?
But Benicio del Toro plays an Italian in that film.
How do you feel about that?
If Pacino can play a Puerto Rican, I feel like we owe them one at least.
You get at least one. All right.
So, look, it's sometimes they're egregiously bad. This isn't nearly as bad as, you know, Mickey Rooney playing a Japanese man.
No, if this is the scale we're using,
I'm saying this is maybe like this is a venial sin. This is a mortal sin.
So yeah, so that's the thing, right? So you're watching this, and you're like, "There's surrounded by actors that are, you know, there's Mexican actors, there's Puerto Rican actors, there's all these, you know, and they're all very good." And it's like, I understand you have Pacino, you get a chance to get Pacino. So I said, you know, just modify the script a touch. You know what I mean? Like if you need Pacino for this, and you probably do, just because, you know, you need some gravitas and you need some chops, you know, and just say, hey, look, we're gonna make some changes to Carlito's, you know, ethnicity, and don't try. Just be Pacino when we need you to be Pacino, and that's great. And then, hey, Vigo, I know you're Danish, but could you really be comically?
You got everything, man. Come on. Look what I got to fucking go around with. Fucking diapers, man. I got fucking diapers. I shit my pants every day. I can't walk. I can't hum. You know? Go ahead and kill me, you cocksucker.
I watched that scene somewhere in the neighborhood of 17 times last night. Like, I have my headphones in because Heather's like, you know, I was being a good husband. I just held up the computer while she was on the phone, and she could just see the scene, and she knew, and she just watched, and she was just reading those lips, and she knew exactly when I can't home.
Okay, can I just, all right, I've got so many questions. So I think to wrap up the Pacino, it's just, he's one of our great actors who's turned in some of the shittiest performances ever.
Yeah.
And I don't think his performance is bad enough to ruin this movie, but almost.
No, in fact, there are moments that, but there are moments where it's like, where you get some vintage Pacino and it's like, it's kind of fun. Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
There. But then you also, so he's in this interesting transition period, I think, as in his professional life, right? Because like the yelling is, I mean, he's always been a yeller, but like there is so much of that now where that's like kind of like, that's what you want, right? You want this mm-hmm. from Pacino. You don't really want as much nuance. You want those explosive moments. So he's kind of in this part where he's not quite the caricature that he becomes, but he is sort of transitioning from, you know, just act like how you see this character should be mm-hmm. to, okay, now could you be Pacino in this scene, to where it just becomes, hey, we're hiring you to be loud Pacino. So we're kind of right in that moment. And I think this movie does that a bunch. Like, you can see those moments, those glimpses. Like, he does some stuff when he's managing the club that is kind of nice and nuanced. And I kind of like even that scene with that you played earlier with Sean Penn's character kind of going nuts, and Pacino is kind of trying to settle him down. He had like, that's actually a very well acted scene by Pacino, because I kind of buy it. You know, I don't like, he could have easily gone over the top with it, but he sort of does play it as a little bit of like, you can feel exasperation and you can kind of feel embarrassment. Like, he does a good job with that. So, and then you get
Pacino,
your
does
classic Pacino's in the bathroom. During the pool scene.
Right. You think you're big time? You're gonna die big time. So Pacino, what Pacino does, maybe better than anyone ever, he smolders in a way that makes you think there's a volcano in this man. It's kind of below the surface that he can convey in a scene where he's being very calm. But
right,
it's just a reminder, like his eyes, his intonation, he just reminds you that I've got a volcano in here and it might erupt at any moment. But the trouble with him later on is that all it was a volcano erupting all of the time.
Right.
And that is this movie is not necessarily as he's really bad. And yet you will see there's moments where it's like, no, well, he's actually one of the best actors ever. So
right.
This movie's a contradiction.
It really is. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm fascinated by it and why I've enjoyed it so much, because it's like, actually, to be honest. And so you hate Scarface, correct?
Hate it. Hate it.
Do you have any moments in the movie where you're like, even just guilty pleasure type enjoying, or you see why this is might be
no
entertaining, I or mean, is it just schlock for you?
It's not. I don't feel like I've seen it enough. I think I've seen it twice in my life. I don't think I've seen it enough to be able to have that kind of relationship with it.
Yeah, I do think, and the reason why I ask is because I do feel that, and I was reading that De Palma was a little reluctant. They were trying to get, there were a few other directors on the table, and De Palma was a little reticent, because he's like, I'm gonna do another, you know, as he put it, like Spanish gangster film with Pacino. It feels like maybe like he's concerned that maybe he's, you know, this movie that he's maybe really well known for, he's just it's almost like he's revisiting that, right? Mm-hmm. So I think there was a reluctance, but I do think that there is almost it feels like there's an inevitability when they're together that they sort of make some similar choices. Because it's different than Scarface, I think, in tone. And, you know, where Scarface, you're sort of seeing the upward trajectory of mm-hmm. this kingpin. and then here is, you know,
well,
sort of like,
I mean,
you could almost feel, you could almost make the argument this is a sort of like an alternate universe of Tony Montana surviving, going to jail, coming back.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think, I mean, if you wanted to get really basic on this, it's like Scarface is about a guy who's like on cocaine all the time, mountains of cocaine.
Right.
Whereas this is a guy who is very sober. He's trying to go straight.
Right.
So you're just asking for a different kind of performance out of Pacino. So, I mean, this to me, this movie is significantly better than Scarface. It's still not. It still has that kind of De Palma stink on it.
What's your favorite De Palma?
Mission Impossible.
So you like Mission Impossible? How do you feel about it?
It's a weird one. I don't like action movies. I don't like Tom Cruise, and I don't like De Palma. It may be the best action movie I've ever seen.
How funny.
Now, I would say T2 is probably the best, but Mission Impossible, the first Mission Impossible is, to me, a perfect popcorn movie. So I don't know if you've ever seen Sisters. Have you ever seen Sisters? It's De Palma's first.
No.
Okay, I watched a little bit of Sisters this morning. It's Margot Kidder, who I've been watching a lot of recently because she's my Lois Lane. The first thing in Sisters is you see Margot Kidder as a blind woman. She's undressing. And then you pan out to realize that this is part of a game show. And I'll just play you a little bit of this game show.
What does a fella do when a pretty girl starts taking off all her clothes right there in front of him? Blind girl, that is. Lovely young model, Danielle Breton, agreed to be our decoy. Now, Danielle is not really blind, but that's what we want our male friend to think. Okay, peepers, look at the board.
This is how De Palma came into our lives. This is the opening scene of his first movie.
How bizarre.
This is a game show that's sort of a candid camera kind of game show. What do you think? Good idea for a game show.
I mean, I'm assuming we already have one like that. I don't exactly know what Love Island is, but
so what's your favorite De Palma? If it's not Sisters, what would it be?
I do think it's probably still Untouchables. And maybe that's a little bit more of sort of a nostalgic thing, and you know, going to see it at Empire Cinemas and just really enjoying Sean Connery again, quotable.
I used to love that movie too, and I think I watched it a lot in my 20s, and I've revisited it recently, and it has not held up for me.
Really? Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time, so I could see that being, and maybe that's why I don't revisit it lately, is because it's like, it has a little spot. You know, I mean, Carrie's very good. Casualties of War is a hard watch. I remember being impressed by it, maybe just because it was, because Penn is so good in that too, Michael J. Fox kind of turns in a role that I've never seen from him before.
Mm-hmm.
Mission Impossible is probably, in terms of just like all around, I would say that one. I mean, even though Snake Eyes is a wonderful guilty pleasure and Raising Cain is a big pile. I love Evil Lithgow though. I don't know if I've ever bought Evil Lithgow outside of Dexter.
Mm.
Like every other time Lithgow is a villain, it's always a little bit like, are you sure?
Let's talk Vigo. Now we
that's how we got here.
we came to this because of Vigo, and I do want to know.
Go ahead and kill me, you cocksucker.
I do want to know if Vigo, how many times you've actually said,
I shit my pants every day.
How many times in your life have you said, I can't hump, man, in this voice?
Wow, it's, whew. I mean, it is such a refrain in this household. Like, I don't know how, I mean, gosh, I can't, it's incalculable.
Come on.
I don't know if a month goes by where it's not said at least once.
Probably nearing 1,000 times.
For sure.
You've said I can't hump in the Viggo Mortensen.
Look at me, man. Come on.
You've said it so often that Heather has started to say it in this voice. I mean, a lot of the times you're saying it on behalf of a dog.
Right, yeah,
you know,
exactly. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. As long as I have animals in this house, that thing is for sure gonna happen.
Go ahead and kill me, you cocksucker.
That's a very underrated part of that line.
The way he delivers sucker.
Yeah, because it's. I mean, he somehow turns it into like a 14 syllable word. I don't even know how he does it. It's
okay. Here's my question.
The C and the K are capitalized in that word. I don't know if that is so interesting.
I feel like on one level, it's just an amazing performance. And on another level, it's just maybe the most unintentionally funny performance I've ever seen.
Yeah. And I think so. If we really weren't going to break down why I rewatched Carlito's Way so much, I'd say maybe number one is Sean Penn's performance. But like 1B, it's this scene when it comes, when it's ready, when he's like, he's a real stand up guy. I'm like, it's coming.
He wasn't even on, man.
And it's so funny because, and it's even
come
more,
on.
it's even more. Wow, this is probably the most I've ever broken on this podcast. It's the funniest. It's all time. It's like an all time scene for me in terms of just pure comedy. Like I there are a few things that, I mean, like I'm like in tears last night, and then I like so much so that I'm like, it's when he gets the cocksucker. Like I totally forgot about that
cocksucker.
And at the time, I didn't know who Viggo Mortensen was when I first watched this. And if you had told me at the time, oh yeah, here comes a Danish actor.
He does not look. He does not look Puerto Rican. He doesn't look anything like what he should.
That's
look
the
like.
Thing is, like him, like so him and Pacino stand out whenever they, whenever another actor shows up of the proper descent, and they're next to him. You're like, What are you guys doing?
I don't mind it. I'm so enthralled with this. I'm like, I'm mesmerized by this. It's so hilarious and so amazing at the same time.
Yeah, this movie, I think the reason why it's goofy when it shouldn't be. And it's like, the more earnest it becomes, the funnier it is. I think. Like, I mean, because
a great example of this is just Sean Penn dancing.
Oh,
I would like to see a compilation of Sean Penn dancing in this film. It's fantastic.
Sean Penn is so, like, he's the right tone for this entire movie. I think the movie, to me, this movie is more, like, I don't feel it's super self-aware. I don't think. I feel like the movie's trying to do something.
No, it's Brian De Palma all the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it fancies itself as heavy noir.
Yeah.
And I think it fancies itself as both a love story as well as a crime drama. I think it really thinks all these components together are working. And really, to me, this is very pulpy. It's a very pulpy.
Yeah.
And I think I like it for that. And I think I like it juxtaposed with its intent even more, because it does, in many ways, it's sending up itself without realizing it. Like it's spoofing itself in its earnestness, because it's like, how many times do you watch 1970s crime dramas and you go, well, I understand, you know, like, you know, maybe they didn't have the budget or they didn't have this. It almost feels like it's a tribute to that style.
Well, here's a great example of this. So watching The Godfather a couple months ago, there's a scene where James Caan is supposed to be beating up a guy. Like, he's supposed to be kicking a guy, and he's clearly missing. It looks really bad. And it's sort of like, well, you know, they were just trying to get this movie made. Maybe they couldn't reshoot the scene. Maybe they didn't know people are going to watch it and rewatch it. So it really doesn't last. But I kind of look forward to it every time.
Hmm.
Like, here comes the scene. He's not going to even, like, it doesn't even touch him.
Yeah.
It's kind of become one of these things where I know it's bad, but I love the movie so much that I kind of look forward to it every time. And that's kind of Vigo in this film.
Yes, because the performance is like, it's just so many questions as to, did you have to get Vigo? You know, like, that's the, for this particular scene.
He was the master of evil.
That's right. But isn't that interesting to think about? Like, you have this scene, you have Puerto Rican actors at your disposal. You have them. They're in this movie. Why did, like, not like Vigo's like a big get at this point. Why? I think this is the power of agents, right? Like, this feels like the power of somebody knows somebody and they're like, hey, I got you a role. Like,
I want that simple Amish guy in Who is that guy? I gotta put him in a wheelchair. There's something about his face that makes me think disabled Puerto Rican.
Yeah, if only he can do a cartoonish accent. Do you think? And he's just training. Like, he's up, okay, we got 6 months till we shoot your scene. And he's just over there just watching Speedy Gonzalez. He's watching all these different.
Come on! Yeah. I shoot my pants every day. I can't walk. I can't hum.
Man, those three, man, that's a trilogy. That is a thing, right? I mean, you know, it's like, you know, something should happen to Heather and I'm on, you know, a dating app. That's going to be in my bio. I shit my pants every day. I can't walk. I can't hump.
You'll do very well. I
find his honesty refreshing. I can fix him.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Steve,
forget a prequel to this. Can I just get an entire, like, movie about that character? Just trying to make do in his apartment.
Is there a cliche, a trope, or a device in this movie that you like?
Yeah, there's two things that came to mind. One, I really like it when, like, kind of a degenerate is throwing a house party and he's really upset about how, like, the people are behaving. Love that. I freaking love that. And the other one I like is, I love a scene where an undercover cop trying to be the one that convinces a guy to turn, but, like, tries to do it in a way that's like to show that they're, like, they're kind of like the same. Like, you know, I totally get you. And it never works like that when they're trying to get him to flip on his lawyer at the end. And he's like, come on, man, you know, you can get back at him.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work.
So the one I like is when someone's trying to get away from the bad guy. And they're in a crowded place. It's either a mall or a train station or, you know, some place where there's a lot of people around. But it's kind of a wide open space. And so it's going to be really hard to get away from them. And then someone carrying like 12 balloons walks by.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, dude, if I can get myself behind those balloons, there's no way these villains will catch me. So he goes behind the balloons and then they're just completely bewildered. That guy just vanished.
Yeah.
I love that. I also love any kind of like last minute subway door getaway.
Oh, yeah. Do you buy any of this romantic subplot?
I don't buy it at all. I think it's doing something interesting. I think it's it wants to tell the story that he's trying to go straight, but that her life has gotten more gritty in the last 5 years. And yeah, so they're on different trajectories, which is kind of an interesting story to tell. They don't have any chemistry at all.
No.
I don't want to see Al Pacino do anything sexual ever. She kind of, her character doesn't really make sense.
Well, here's what I don't under, and this is, I think, that one of the issues I have, and I'm just going back to what we were talking about, like the lack of self-awareness of this film. And I think this is what I'm about to say is more true of the film, but I sometimes try to give it the benefit of the doubt, is I feel like they've created a very, very dumb female character, but they think she's strong.
Yeah. They think that she's complex, but
and she's not, she's not. One of the dumbest people on earth.
And she gets really tropey, you know, it's sort of like the path you're on will lead you to your own death. And here's a little voice of wisdom for you. And if you could just follow this advice, you'd be better off, you know, sort of trying to keep the man from being manly, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, well, I'm pregnant, but I'm going to get rid of it. Well, don't. Why don't we go sell rental cars together? And then she's like, okay. Okay. We'll do that.
I don't know if you've, when's the last time you've seen The Freshman?
I've never seen The Freshman.
With Matthew Broderick and
Marlon Brando.
She's in this movie. I love this movie. It's kind of a horrible movie. It just ends really poorly. But I will rewatch it over and over again. I just think it's a really smart parody of like one of these 70s crime drama mafia movies. I really enjoy it. And she's in that movie. So I kind of like her just for that role that she's in.
I think she's a good actress. I think this movie, like I said, I think this movie really makes a very awful character and an awful, just so many misguided decisions and all these things. But again, I'm like, at one hand, I'm like, well, it wouldn't be out of the realm of, you know, reality to have, you know, a Carlito kind of corrupting a not very bright woman's, you know, life and trajectory, right? Like that part, like I think that is kind of that could be an interesting story, right? Like where it's like, instead of going out of your way to make all the characters complex, you can actually have some of them be a little bit, you know, maybe dense or naive, and then that could be part of the tragedy, right? That it could be a tragic unraveling of this person's story as well. And that's more of a spotlight on some of the blind spots or depravity of your main character to complicate him, right?
Well,
but I don't think the movie's making that choice.
What you're describing is Goodfellas. This is exactly what happens in Goodfellas.
That's fair, yeah. And so, but the thing is,
a significantly better movie than this.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. If that's the story you want to tell with her, that's actually an interesting story, and it actually makes Carlito a little, it makes him more complicated, because then you're like, well, who am I rooting for? I want him to do better, but like, for him to do better, he has to bring somebody kind of down, and so he takes advantage of somebody who maybe is not that bright, and that makes, like, it's him creating an illusion. I'm like, and I'm describing a movie that's way better.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's not the movie I watched. And so it's like, I tried to give this movie benefit of the doubt, and then I realized, no, you actually think you've created a complex character and an interesting love story, and you've done neither.
All right, so I was going to ask you what tweak you'd make. That sounds like a pretty good tweak.
That's a tweak. I would change him. He's not pure Puerto Rican, if Puerto Rican at all. And voiceover, no more.
No more voiceover. All right, now I have to ask you this, because no one hates John Leguizamo more than you do. I don't mind him in this movie, but as I'm watching, I've got like a little Steve Devil on one shoulder, sort of negging John Leguizamo as I'm watching him. I think he's actually pretty good.
So I'm having a hard time with my life, because I'm like, maybe Leguizamo's not so bad.
You've come around.
not fully around, but I'm watching him in this and I'm like, he does everything you want him to do in this movie. In fact, I buy his character actually in the scenes he's in.
Yeah.
Like he does exactly what you want him to do. Leguizamo is not the problem in this movie.
No, in a movie that is rife with problems, Leguizamo is not the worst thing.
This movie's too long, right?
So it's at least 20 minutes too long. It is a 2-hour and 20-minute movie. I think all the slow-mo scenes in the beginning, maybe fast forward.
Oh my God, that would never end. I was like, whoa, dude, what's going on?
I know.
I'm like, did I get the director's cut that's just credits?
Steve, is this movie better, worse, or on par with a Ron Howard film?
Oh, I think it's a Ron Howard -3. I don't know if that's, I mean, I don't want to be too low because he gets good performance. Well, he gets a good performance.
Mm-hmm.
-3 might be a little high.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Ron Howard -5 on this one.
Okay.
It's not because I think it's a bad movie. I think the first 30 minutes is really bad. And I think Al Pacino is not helping anything in this movie. It just feels like, give me a replacement level director. And this movie is significantly better.
Right.
And so if it was sort of like, this was the De Palma joint, but he had to drop out for whatever reason, Let's get Ron Howard. I think that this movie is vastly improved. So that is my assessment of this. Is there a Kevin Bacon character character in Kevin Bacon's filmography that you could insert into this movie?
You know, I'm trying to think of a time where Kevin Bacon had an accent for a nationality he was not.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not able to find one because I thought that would be, it wouldn't even matter what the role was.
Just, okay,
that would
be perfect. Let me suggest one. Okay. I just rewatched JFK.
Okay.
Do you remember Kevin Bacon's role in JFK?
Vaguely.
He's Tommy Lee Jones's twink.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Put him in this movie.
Southern accent.
Yeah. Perfect.
He's in jail and he makes unwanted advances to Kevin Costner at one point.
Oh, okay. And I thought, replace Vigo with him.
I thought maybe this is someone that the good old Carlito met in prison.
We find out this guy's now like the head of the Italian mafia.
Come on.
Does this movie have a half the battle won to go on moment?
I mean, maybe if you shit your pants every day and you can't walk and you can't hump, maybe journal that.
Don't become famous for that.
Right. Don't become. Do you realize how life changed for me watching Lord of the Rings when I figured out that Aragorn shits his pants every day?
Oh, gosh. All right. So, Steve, Luis Guzman brings us next to Punch Drunk Love.
Yes.
All right. I just one more time here.
You got everything, man. I mean, come on. Look what I got to fucking go around with. Fucking diapers, man. I got fucking diapers. I shit my pants every day. I can't walk. I can't hump. You know? Go ahead and kill me, you cocksucker.
Nary a nomination for that.
This is your return of the king. was a good show.
Come on!
In a cocoon of horror.